Thank you for joining us today for the North Canton Heritage Society's official podcast, A Place in Time. Today we've got Doug, Heritage Vice President, to talk about our really cool Century House Plaque program. So here's Doug and me.
Okay. Introduce yourself. Who am I talking to? Whose house am I sitting in right
now? I'm Doug Wechter. We're sitting in the Ezra Pebble 1841 house.
Okay. What room is this?
We're down in the basement. I call this the Ratskeller Bar. As you can see on the walls here, it has a very primitive stonework. They're just field stones. They're not cut sandstone. And the plaster you see is reminiscent of the style that they would use in their barn. Hmm. And their beam right above your head, as you can tell, is hand-hewn. It's not smoothly cut. It was cut by a broad axe. And in fact, about 2 years ago, right when I moved into this house, up in the corner there, I noticed a metal piece. I'm like, what is that? So I tried to pull on it. It was really heavy. I tried to drag it along, and I was able to finally pull it out, and here's what I pulled out. It's the a broad axe. And for some reason, they etched a date on it of 1861. So I'm theorizing that Ezra Pebble broke the handle of this broad axe and just stuck it up in the corner there 150 years ago and didn't see the light of day until a couple years ago.
Oh, wow. That's really neat.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right. So how is this the Ezra People House? Like, talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah. Ezra came to Ohio with his family around 1825.
Okay.
From Maryland. He then married Catherine Warburton.
Okay.
A few years later. And they bought this property in 1841, about 70 acres, mostly south of Portage Street, where you see West Park and beyond towards Price Park, and a little bit north of Portage Street.
Okay, and there's like a creek that runs like underneath, right? Like right under, like looking back into the past, like there would be a creek running.
Yes.
In their acreage.
Just to the west of the house, I mean, a matter of like 50 feet. There's a creek that runs still to this day through West Park.
Oh, okay.
When I was a child, I could look through the metal grades. You could hear the water and see it. And it runs all the way down to Price Park. So it made a nice location for a farm. But 1872, an interesting story is, it sounds like he got into a bad financial situation and he needed to get out of debt.
Mm-hmm.
So he approached George Donner and offered this the house and much of the acreage is to him for $7,500, and say, George, can you help me out, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm speculating that he decided to offer to throw in his daughter Lydia to sweeten the pot. Because what happened was George Donner did buy the house, the land, and marry his daughter in 1874, Lydia. Oof. So in that same year, he built a huge Victorian-esque house across the street on Portage. It still stands.
That's that lighthouse on the corner?
Yes,
of,
yes.
Pierce and
Portage.
Okay.
It's very large. So at the age of 64, that was his idea of downsizing for he and his wife. And that, like you said, the house still stands today.
Yeah, yeah.
And you had done a podcast on street names.
Mm-hmm.
And just west of us is a street called Donner Street. So that's, I'm assuming, is named after George and Lydia Donner.
Yeah. Before we started recording the podcast, you talked a lot about what kind of got you interested in the century building marker. Could you tell me exactly what the program is and then what inspired you to kind of develop it?
Okay. The mission of the program is to foster pride and enhance the charm of the city of North Canton by calling attention to the historic character of our city and to give recognition to, you know, early buildings such as houses, barns, stores, churches, and businesses.
Like the one we're sitting in right now.
Exactly. Well, through work and also through pleasure, I do a lot of traveling around small towns, Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and I love driving through small towns.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to notice what makes these towns interesting to me. You know, the old buildings, the old houses, etc. And I started noticing some of the houses had markers on them. And so I looked at them more closely, and I found them very interesting and adding extra charm to those towns and interest. So I got to thinking, there are no historic house markers in North Canton. So why not us?
Yeah, absolutely. So what's the criteria for this? And how did you come up with those parameters?
Right. We have a small committee that has worked on the criteria for this, and we've come up with the building is located within the North Canton City's limits. It has to be over 100 years old. The original lines of the building are substantially visible. It could be, like I mentioned before, residential, commercial, barn, a church, structures. They all can qualify for a marker. And then also some additional things that we consider. Does the structure have significant North Canton family history as part of the property history? And also maybe an architectural style such as a Sears catalog or Craftsman home. Now, there's a house on Marquardt that's getting close to being 200 years old. It's an old log house that has since been had more modern exterior put on it. But it's almost 200 years old. And plus, it was a former house of Dave Johnson, our local state representative.
Oh, wow.
So that would be a house that would have some North Canton family history tied to it. Yeah.
So do you do all this research on your own and then just take it to the owners of these properties?
Well, first of all, I had to figure out what research has been done already.
Right.
So I found out, interesting enough, that my father, Gary Wechter, and Tom Pieper, their fellow teachers, had done a lot of this research back in 1975, 1976, around our 200th anniversary of our country. So their extensive research on about 10 homes or so, including architectural drawings, has been very helpful, including interviewing the current owners at that time. So that was part of the current research. And there's been some books done that highlight some of our towns or houses in North Canton over the years. So that's also been a resource.
Okay. What are some of these different books over here?
This is an inventory of historical sites and structures in Stark County. So the Ezra Pebble house is included in that one, along with the Hoover farmhouse. The Dave Johnson house is also in there. And I also have a book on an inventory of historic sites and structures, a window of Stark County from 1986. Again, the Ezra Pebble house is highlighted in here along with the Hoover plant, which happens to be on the National Historic Registry. But some of my also research I found out was going to the county auditor, the county recorder, the North Canton Library, North Canton Heritage Society. McKinley Presidential Library also has some interesting information. Ancestry.com. But my primary resource and the best has been the Stark County Library, the genealogy section. They've been very helpful there, and they have a lot of first source material.
Okay, well, can you, the one thing I don't want to do is I don't want to give out addresses, just for privacy's sake, you know.
Sure.
So, but why don't you tell me about some of the other properties, if you just want to name them by, like, the family name or something like that, like.
Yeah, Leonard Williman House, I think, was the oldest one in town. And his is an interesting story. He emigrated to this country in 1773. And on the way over on the boat, seven of his nine siblings perished. And soon after, his father died from an injury from falling on the boat and hitting his head. So after arriving in this country, just 16-year-old Leonard and his 9-year-old sister were the only survivors. So together they had to forge their way in their new country. He's interesting in the fact that he also enlisted in the Continental Army during the Revolutionary War. He eventually made it over with his wife to this part of Ohio around 1807, purchasing 160 acres from the U.S. government. And then in 1814, he bought another 160 acres from Bezaliel Wells of Canton fame. And together with that acreage, that was kind of the southeastern part of North Canton, starting on Maple, going south, and or south of Maple, and east of Main Street.
Okay.
So if you just start in Bitzer Park and start heading that way, towards Claremont School and etc. But anyway, so he had a large chunk of land, so they probably built an initial cabin there. But we feel that he either enlarged that cabin or built a new structure in 1820. And this structure, interesting enough, still stands. I happened to be in that house this past year, and one of the most interesting features is one of the beams in the basement still has its original bark on it.
No kidding.
Yeah. Its current owner, Doug and Amy Lane, have owned the house for many years, and Amy actually grew up in that house.
Oh, no.
She's a Lundstrom. And her father is responsible for some of the sculptures you see around town, like the children returning the books at the North Canton Library. You're probably familiar with the William H. Hoover statue in Bitzer Park.
Yeah.
And then maybe a little lesser known, newer, is the Ralph T. Warburton statue by the North Canton Medical Foundation.
Yeah.
As we mentioned before, you did a podcast on street names.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Apple Grove?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I think everybody in North Canton should know Apple Grove.
It's my understanding there used to be an actual Apple Grove that the street was most likely named after. And just south of current Apple Grove Northeast is a house built in 1826 by Adam Hauer. It was a very substantial brick house for the time, which is still standing. It's a local, nice local treasure, and they have one of our century building plaques hanging on their house.
And they've got like a big rock out front that has like the date that the house was constructed. Is that correct?
You're actually confusing it with the second Adam Hauer house.
I didn't know there were two.
Yes. So he, in 1840, around 1840, he built another house on the other side of, on the north side of Apple Grove. There is a big boulder on Apple Grove at the entrance of a long driveway that says established in 1840. And that's another Adam Hauer house.
Wow.
I've been fortunate enough to go into both houses, and interesting enough, the layout is exactly the same on the first floor, as is extremely similar with the Leonard Williman house. So I don't know if it was just a common layout back then, but I just found that interesting.
Why he built the other house? I mean, did he just decide to be a guy in North Canton with two houses? New Berlin.
That's a very interesting question, because he didn't pass away till the age of 81 in 1881. And he building the second house in 1840, he had only been about 40 years old.
So
I really don't know why he. I know the second house is up on a hill. Maybe there was too much water issues.
Or, I mean, 40, I mean, maybe he was having a midlife crisis and just build a second house.
Yeah, or he wanted to get a little farther away from town. It was growing too much for him.
Yes. Seven buildings. I better get moving down. What else you got?
Okay. So, we talked about the Leonard Williman house, circa 1820.
Yep.
The Adam Hauer house from 1826 and also 1840. And we also mentioned the Ezra Pebble House from 1841.
Which we're sitting in right now.
Right. The fourth house that got a plaque in, a century building plaque in 2019 is the Daniel Hoover House.
What's the Daniel Hoover House? Who's Daniel Hoover?
Oh, okay.
Who are these Hoovers?
Daniel Hoover was born in Pennsylvania in 1823 and came to Ohio in 1827 with his parents. He worked as a tanner and a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
He married Mary Kreider in 1847 and together with his wife built a substantial farmhouse in 1853 on East Maple Street near Market.
Hmm.
Now that house, as you may recall, was moved a few years ago to make room for that plaza that was built on the corner of Maple and Market. That house is also interesting in that it's the childhood home of William H. Hoover, who some may have heard of, who founded the Hoover Company, which went on to produce many Hoover sweepers.
Yes. Swept the world by storm.
That house today is run by Walsh University. It's the Hoover Historical Center. And if you ever get a chance to swing by there, they have museum hours. It's a very interesting house to mm-hmm. tour. It's also was placed on the National Historic Registry in 1979. So those are the four houses that received century building plaques
mm-hmm.
In 2019. I personally find it fascinating to think back what life was like over 200 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
There were very rudimentary paths, if you want to even call them roads. Transportation was by streams mm-hmm. and those roads. Even the Ohio Erie Canal was not even constructed until 1826. So, you know, remember, the Leonard Willeman House was 1820 and the Adam Hauer House was 1826.
So not even a whisper of it, really.
Right, the railroad didn't come to Canton until 1842. So
yeah.
Just them moving their goods, farm goods, to market was very long and laborious. Even communication.
Yeah.
Back then, the telegraph wasn't even invented yet.
Letters.
Let alone the telephone or text messaging.
Yeah.
So, you know, like indoor running water, electricity, air conditioning, none of that. So they had a very, very different life than what we had today.
Yeah. Is that what kind of fascinates you about this? Like what kind of gets your blood flowing when it comes to like historical and heritage stuff?
Yeah, I really do try to imagine what life was like back then.
Mm-hmm.
I had the pleasure to participate in vintage baseball, which is circa 1860 era, around the era mm-hmm. of these homes, where we try to recreate the clothing and playing style of that era.
How'd it go?
Good, good. In fact, the Hoover, there used to be a team called the Hoover Sweepers.
Yeah.
That they played for over 20 years. But yeah, very interesting.
Oh.
And I'm also a Revolutionary War reenactor. So that might touch back into the era of Leonard Willeman when he was in the Revolutionary War.
Yeah. I did not know that last part. Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
Actually, I play a German Hessian. And a German Hessian soldier was the first person that really came to Plain Township in 1805. Henry Friday, he was captured at the Battle of Trenton. But then as many of these paroled Hessian soldiers, they remained in America, and he was the first one in the area.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that brings back to full circle, man, you know? All right, well, I know that this is like a big passion project for you. You know, this
yes.
is something that you've said that you want this to be kind of like your legacy in North Canton. You know, how do you feel seeing these plaques, you know, I mean, getting attached to the houses now and, you know, knowing that that was something that you initiated.
Well, I'm very excited about it. I feel like there was something missing from our town.
Yeah.
You know, if you drive through North Canton, you see a lot of newer buildings, mid-century, etc. The Hoover Company really had a big imprint on the downtown and City Hall also. And we lost a lot of our old buildings. So I think a lot of people don't realize the amount of history that is in our town, in this area.
Baked in our DNA.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a way to kind of highlight that and remind people of some of the history that's around us.
This has been a production of the North Canton Heritage Society. The views, opinions, and comments made by the hosts, co-hosts, or guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the North Canton Heritage Society. The North Canton Heritage Society is a non-profit historical organization located in North Canton, Ohio, and is dedicated to preserving the history and heritage of North Canton through education, research, and general good times. We are a member-driven organization, and as such, we depend on your membership to keep going. You can go to our website, www.northcantonheritage.org, to learn more about becoming a member. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Music was provided by the royalty-free websites Free Music Archive and Free Sound. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you around town.
He would purchase an additional 160 acres in 1814 from...
Elizabella? Oh my god, we had this like 10 minutes ago. Bezilla.
No, that's not it.
Bezalel.
Okay.
Bezalel. I found our stinger, by the way. That's our outtake.
Bezalel. He would purchase an additional 160 acres in 1814 from Bezalel Wells.